All right. It's a real privilege to open the Word with you. If you would, please open your Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, we're going to look at verse 19 and verse 20 together. Have you ever found yourself somewhere you don't belong? Find yourself in somewhat of a awkward situation and you know, I should not be here right now. This happens to me every time I wander into the kitchen whenever my wife is baking. You know, someone has to be the official cookie tester, you know, because you wouldn't want to give away bad cookies. But then you stand there to eat your chocolate chip cookie and inevitably I'm leaning on the cabinet she needs to get to. I'm standing in her way, you know, and I've got to move out of the way. It's very clear there's a process, you know, a well-defined system happening here, and I don't belong here. I need to leave. And sometimes church can be that way. You know, Paul describes church as a body. There's many members. There's lots of different people. There's lots of moving parts. I mean, especially in a church our size, there's lots of programs. There's lots of events. There's lots of ministry. There's lots of systems that are running. And sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly how I fit in or where I fit. Or maybe I can be somewhere where I'm not bumping up against people, but I could be a part of the system that's happening. And it's especially difficult, I think, for people who are new. Someone comes in, you know, this church has been around for a long time. A lot of people know each other, and you may be new to something that you've never been a part of before, and you've never been involved in a church like ours. And it can be somewhat weird trying to figure out exactly where I fit. And it's especially weird for some of us who've been around for a long time, and we know a lot of people, and we're a part of what's happening, to bring new people in to what's going on, to make them feel welcome, to make them feel a part of the body, a part of this thing that God is doing. So tonight, I want to give kind of a big idea of what we want to talk about, and it's this. Inner City Baptist Church is responsible for welcoming and receiving newcomers into the life of our church so that we all become more like Christ. We're responsible for welcoming and receiving newcomers into the life of our church so that we all become more like Christ. Or if you want a shorter, more succinct version, it's this. Our job is to find new people and make them stick. Our job is to find new people and make them stick. Let's look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20 together. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different, but Pastor Ben's not here, so it's okay. Normally, we'd open a text and we try to pull out the big idea, and then we try to figure out how all those pieces fit together. I'm going to do something like that, similar in that I'm going to drill down on one implication of the text, and we're going to talk about that. So we're going to skip over a few things, but the nature of our church and who our pastor is, I'm assuming some familiarity with this passage. It's the Great Commission passage. It's very popular. I'm sure you've heard it before, and it basically gives the mission for our church. It gives the mission of what the church is to be doing in this age. This is Jesus talking to his disciples at the end of his ministry, and he's commissioning them. He is sending them out to do a task. And we specifically are going to focus in on bringing in new people into this system. And I'll try to show you from the text how we're going to talk about that. So the first thing, if we're thinking about finding new people and making them stick, the first point we need to see is this. Discipleship means making and maturing disciples. Discipleship means making and maturing disciples. So if we're going to be doing what Jesus has called us to do. If we're going to be following our Lord and his command to us, we're going to be making disciples and we're going to be maturing disciples. This is how our church has chosen to frame it in our mission statement. I'm sure lots of you have heard our mission statement. It's Inner City Baptist Church exists to make and mature disciples who are together becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first part of that statement is the activity portion. That is what we are to be doing. And it's those two things, make and mature disciples. So Jesus commands us to make disciples. Look at verse 19. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations. This is the essence of the Great Commission. This is the central command, make disciples. There's lots of other words around it and phrases around it, but when Jesus is speaking, this is the primary emphasis right here. We are to be making disciples. That means we are to be making people who were not followers of Jesus to now be followers of Jesus. You may remember earlier in Matthew, and Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. That means there are people who maybe want to come after Jesus, but they haven't yet, and there's something they must do to do that. And that's what make disciples means. I was over here. I was not following Jesus. Now I have become a disciple and I'm following Jesus. And we'll talk more about what that means. The central command, make disciples. And what this means is our job is not simply done by just telling someone the gospel. Pastor Doran, in his book, For the Sake of His Name, he uses an illustration like this. He says, if we could somehow figure out a way to broadcast the gospel message to the whole world, so maybe a radio or a TV broadcast, and you could ensure that every single person on the planet heard the broadcast. And we set this thing up and we tell everyone the gospel. And now everyone on the planet has heard the gospel. Would our job be done? And the answer is no. We have simply told those people the gospel. They have not been made into disciples. Plenty of people will hear the message and reject it. But our job, commanded by Jesus, is to make disciples. Now, certainly, we can't change the heart, and there's lots of complexities to how those things work together, our responsibility and God's sovereignty. But the main point is that the goal we're seeking for is new disciples. And this is what we want to see tonight. If we're going to make disciples, if we're going to actually see people follow Jesus, that must mean there are new people. We can't make disciples. I kind of scanned the room and I don't think anyone is a visitor, but for the most part, if we're all members of this church, we've all professed faith, you cannot make disciples of people in our church. We're already disciples. You have to make disciples because there are new people who have come into the life of our church and are now disciples. So if we're going to make disciples, if we're actually going to see people become followers of Jesus, that must mean that there are new people around us. That by God's grace, at this time next year, there may be someone who someone in our church is praying for, who is now a disciple of Christ, who isn't at this moment. That's what's happening. That's the activity of the church. It's that we are finding new people and bringing them in to the life of our church, that we are making disciples the way Christ commanded us to do. And the other thing is, Jesus commanded us to teach disciples. This is the mature part of that statement. So make disciples and mature disciples. Look at verse 20. Jesus says this, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus is not simply after decisions, but disciples. He's not after people who said, oh yeah, when I was a kid, I prayed a prayer and I got my get out of hell free card and I'm good. I'm going to go live however I want. He's after people who will call him Lord, who will actually lay down their life for him, who will actually submit to his teaching, not just people who claim the name of Christ, but people who are following Christ, who are after them. And we're to be teaching them. The Great Commission is given to the church, and Jesus tells us we have to teach these people to observe everything. We're not simply teaching the content. You know, this is what Jesus taught. Here is what Christianity teaches. Here's like these 10 doctrines, and here's what you need to know. It's that we're teaching these people, these new people who have now been made disciples, we're teaching them how to follow Christ, how to obey him, how to observe or do everything he commanded, which means they have to stick around. So if someone is going to actually become a disciple, they're going to be made into a disciple, they must be a part of what's happening here, because in the life of the church is where people are being taught to follow Jesus. It's where we're being taught about the Bible and about his word and about how to live, about how to encourage one another and love one another better, about how to share the gospel, about how to be good moms and dads and good husbands and wives. In the church is where this is happening. So Jesus commands us, go and make disciples. Our job is not simply to get new members, but to get maturing members. There's a process there. There's a go from no contact to fully devoted follower of Jesus. That means someone who has plugged in, someone who's a part of the life of the church, someone who is being taught and teaching others how to follow Christ better. I'm sure you've heard of churches like this where, you know, all they're after are names on a list. So they may say something like, we have 3,000 people on our church roll. And then you go on a Sunday morning and there's 200 people in the auditorium. It's like, where are the rest of the people? Where's everybody at? Why haven't they stuck around? We're not just after adding people to our church membership. We're after seeing those people added in and growing in Christ along with the rest of us. That there's a process. There's something we are actually after. So Jesus commands us, go and make disciples. And this can only happen inside the life of our church. This is the church is the chosen mechanism for this to happen. And we'll see that we are responsible for making sure new disciples stick to the church. Look at verse 19. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Throughout the book of Acts, we see a common theme where people are baptized and then added to the church. That actually baptism is an ordinance of the church, and this command to make disciples is given to us, to the disciples through them. That if we're going to administer baptism, it has to be done in our church. That means we are bringing people into the church. So the Great Commission can only be fulfilled here in our gathering with us as together, as being one body and being part of Christ and fulfilling his mission for us. Discipleship happens in the context of a gathered church. Look at Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the author of Hebrews is encouraging them, you need to continue to stir up one another to love and good works, and don't neglect to meet together. Because the church actually happens in the meeting of the church. It's an assembly. It's a group of people. It would be weird if we called ourselves an assembly, but then never assembled. That we actually, if we're going to be making disciples like Jesus commands us to be doing, we're going to be finding new people and bringing them into the assembly. They're going to be here. They're going to be a part of the life of the church. Discipleship happens in this context. It must mean then that it's our responsibility to find these people and help them stick, to help them stay. If it's our job to make immature disciples, it must be our job to make sure the members of our assembly stay as part of our assembly, that we actually would be committed to one another, to stirring each other up to love and good works, that we would not neglect meeting together. All right. So that was a quick flyby overview of that passage. So we see our job as the church, make disciples. If we're making disciples, That means new people. Then those people are added into our church. They're being taught. If they're being taught, that must mean they're here. So it's our job to make sure they stay here, to help them stick, to help them be a part of the body. Because we learn from the New Testament that everyone has gifts. Everyone has things they bring to the table. You know, your gift is probably different from mine, and that's okay. That's how God has designed us to work, that we're actually, there's a system here. There's something happening. And we're bringing people in to the life of our church so that they fit and they stick here with us. And we all together are becoming like Christ. All right, since we have some kids in the room, I thought this would be a fun way to illustrate it. This is gaff tape. So I get the fun privilege of being the AV director here. And that means a lot of wires and things like that. And we use gaff tape to tape all those things down. This is fairly sticky, so. All right. So when people come, they often look like this side of the gaff tape. It's not very sticky, right? You can't stick that to anything. It's not double-sided tape. It's our job to make them look like this. This is the sticky portion of the gaff tape, that they'd actually find a place here that they'd stick. All right, so this is our new person. We're going to put them there. This is my tape ball. I have been collecting the gaff tape we've used for a number of years, and I've created this monstrosity. And I hope one day it'll be the size of a soccer ball so that when I am no longer the AV director here, I will hand this on to the next guy, and he can continue to grow the gaff tape. So what is this? This is a tape ball. Is it a bunch of pieces of tape stuck together? Well, yes, but really we would call it a tape ball. It's one thing. So for all the kids in the room, here comes along a new person. It's our job to stick them to us, to actually welcome them in, to receive them into membership, so that when they're made a disciple, they're now being matured. Now, you can still see that that's a piece of tape just sitting on top of the tape ball. So it's part of the tape ball, but it sticks out, right? So it's our job to do this. So now, if I spin it around, pretty sure no one, including me, could identify that piece of tape that I just stuck to this thing. You see one thing. You see a tape ball. And that's just like us. Yes, we are individual people and personalities, but we're more than that. We're a body. We're Christ's body on earth. We have all different gifts and abilities and different parts and loves and interests, but we're one thing. We're Intercity Baptist Church, and we're to work as one thing. And if someone's just hanging off the side, that's not right. That's not normal. We're to act as one. We're to be unified in the Spirit, to love one another and encourage one another. So that was my tape ball illustration. I hope that makes sense. So it's our job to identify new people and bring them into the life of our church. Or as I've said, it's our job to make them stick. So you might think to yourself, well, I'm not really great at finding new people. You know, I'm not super outgoing. I don't know a lot of unbelievers. And this is what I would tell you. Great. This is the sermon for you, because we're not going to focus on that. I want to drill down and focus on one specific thing. And this is why I thought this would be helpful coming off of Easter Sunday. So on Easter Sunday, we had, as far as we counted, about 35 visitors who just walked through our door. Now, I did not know we had any visitors until Elliot told me that we had 35 visitors. It's so easy to just get busy, to get focused on what you want to get focused on. You know, if you're coming to church on a Sunday morning, you've got kids, you've got a family, we've got a breakfast, you're trying to like get your food. You know, maybe you're involved in the music or in the AV team. There's stuff to do. There's things that need to be done. It is so easy to just blow past people, to not see that we had 35 people who are not members of our church. Maybe it was their first time ever being in a church service. And you may think, well, that's Easter. You know, everybody goes to church for the first time on Easter. But I just tell you, that's not true. We have probably at least one, maybe every 2 weeks, some new person who walks through our doors, who's never been to church before, who's never been to our church. We're trying as best we can to identify those people and go after those people, but you know, we can't catch everybody. You know, we won't see everyone, but you will, you know, because you sit in here when we have church and when we're together. There are more people walking through our doors than I think a lot of us would think. And the question I want to ask us is, are we going to let that go? Are we going to let the people God has brought to us just kind of fly by? If we're making and maturing disciples, it means we're finding these new people. And we're, as best we can, trying to be faithful to the mission that God has given us, to see them become disciples and see them brought in to our assembly. So how can we do this? What's a way we could think about this? And I have five things that we could do together. Number one, see. Just look. Open your eyes. Look around. See who might be new. Maybe you go in your ABF and you sit down. You know, are you focused on talking to the people you know? Or are you looking around to just see, you know, who might be new? This might be their first time here. You know, can I welcome them? Can I help them? Can I talk to them? Or is it like, I got to get my thing. I got a ministry position I got to fill. I've got a place to be. And you just blow right past it. So see, are we opening our eyes? Are we looking out for the visitors who may be here on a Sunday? I thought I'd illustrate it like this. I think we often notice things we care about. And I was reminded of this Monday night. So I was driving with my wife. We were running some errands real quick. And it's starting to get warmer outside. I'm starting to feel the itch. And I want to get outside and go golfing because I like to go golfing. Don't ask if I'm good or not. That doesn't really matter. It's fun. Anytime we drive somewhere, if there's a golf course on the side of the road, I mean, it instantly catches my eye. And she could like attest to this. This happened on Monday. We're driving. And I'm like, that looks like a cart path. And then you see like, oh, it's pretty green and mowed. I'm like, I think that's a golf course. And then you see the tee box and it has the trash can that every tee box has with the can sitting next to it because someone didn't throw it in, you know, and it catches your eye instantly. And I'm not like super observant when I'm driving, but that it just drawn to it. How many of us, when we see someone new or when we come into our church, when we come into the gathering, it's like, oh, there's a new person. Boom, catches me. You know, I'm on it. I see them. I'm drawn to them. I've got my eyes open. I'm looking for them. You know, I'm ready to go because I was looking for it, because I thought about it, because I cared about it. So see. The next thing we can do is talk. Just say hello. Introduce yourself. Hi, my name is. What's your name? You know, this is a big church. And you're not going to know everyone's name. And I think maybe if we wouldn't admit it, but maybe we would. We're all a little afraid of meeting someone who's been a member since like Dr. Rice was the pastor here. You know, like, hi, oh, is this your first time? Well, no, I've been here longer than you've been alive. And it's like, okay, well, great, thanks. So let me let you in on a little secret about how to smooth that out. You can use this phrase. And if any of you use it to each other, well, just know this is where they got it. Hi, my name is, what's your name? Tell your name. I don't think I've met you before. How long have you been coming to Inner City? If you ask them that and they say 45 years, great. That's awesome. I'm so glad I met you. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Have a conversation. If they say, this is my first day, great too. It's a win-win. You can't lose with that type of phrase. And I'll tell you why, because I met someone who has been a member here for 45 years, like two Sundays ago. And as soon as they told me their name, I was like, oh, that's who you are. Great. And so we talked and it was great. I met a new person, learned something about some people, and nobody's like, oh, well, you didn't know I was already a member here? Now, if they listen to this recording, they might know, but hopefully they won't. So just talk. If we're looking for people, see, talk. Can we find, you know, just go up and just introduce yourself. Say hello. Ask why they're here. Most people, and I read a couple of studies on this, this is called the 5D theory. Most people who come to church for the first time, it's one of five reasons, and it's this: divorce, death, displacement, disaster, or development. So some of those may be, we just moved here, we're new to the area, we're looking for a church. Great. We're so glad you're here. We hope you're welcome. You know, can we tell you, this is where you drop your kids off. This is an ABF class for you. Awesome. Or maybe it's, you know, going through a difficult time in family life. Maybe there was a death in the family and someone's seeking out answers. You know, maybe someone's going through a divorce and they just don't know where to go. But they remember that their mom was a Christian. And so here they come, walking through our door. Talk. Be interested. Ask questions. Hi, why are you here? I want to know more about you, and be genuinely interested in people and their lives. Someone who is not a regular attender here has built up a habit of not regularly attending. And our goal is to help them build the habit. And the best way we can do that is just be friendly. If you're trying to build a habit, you have to make it rewarding. And if we're a friendly, welcoming environment, that's a rewarding place to be. That's something we can do to help welcome new people into the life of our church. All right, number three, involve. So we want to move from the conversation to involving them into the life of our church. So, hey, so glad you're here. Hope you feel welcomed. You know, this is an ABF that's going on, or the service is about to start. I would love to sit with you. You know, we have a pretty standard order, and it's that way on purpose so that people can follow. You know, we're not pulling audibles every week. You know, generally what we do is a welcome. We'll sing a couple songs. There'll be a pastoral prayer. We'll sing some more songs, a sermon, closing song, standard. And you can tell them that, you know, this is what we do. This is what a service is about. You know, we'd love to involve you in that. Maybe your ABF has an activity coming up and you think they'd be great for that. I'd love to have you come to that. You know, we want to show people that there's life here, that there's stuff happening, that there's a community of people who love each other and love Christ and want to see them love Christ and worship Christ too. We want to welcome them in. Maybe they're an unbeliever and you think, great, we've got a Bible study coming up. I would love to go through that with you. Or, you know what, if that's not your cup of tea, we can find someone who would love to go through that with them. There are things happening and things we can invite people into to welcome them into what's happening here, to show them that there's life and community. The church is where discipleship is happening. This is the center of Christ's mission. So if we're going to bring people in, we want to actually bring them in and involve them and show them. All right, number four is this: commit. We want to see them commit to our church. We want to see them actually obey Christ in church membership. So three questions you could ask here. Are they a believer? Have they been baptized? And have they joined the church? If they're not a believer, well, that's the first step. And you know what? You can't change someone's heart. And a lot of people will get stuck right here. And that's it. They won't move past that. And we're going to trust that to God. We're going to be faithful to what he's called us to. But that's the next step. Are they a believer? If they are a believer, have they been baptized? So the family who's moved here, maybe someone has moved here and they're just looking for a church. Yes, I've been baptized. I was a member of a church of like faith and practice, and we're looking for a church in the area. Great. That checks that box off. Or I just recently became a believer. I need to get baptized. Okay, great. When's the next newcomers class? When's the next baptism and membership vote? Those are the next two steps to take there. And then, have they joined the church? Are they actually welcomed in? And that's what I mean by commit. Joining a church is not like joining a social club. It's actually committing that we actually are a group of people who have covenanted together to follow Christ, to be a part of this church, to love one another and care for one another. We want to see them also commit and see them be brought into our church. And then number five is knit. We want to see their heart knit together with ours. We want to see them grow in maturity and commitment to the local church, which is Christ's expression. We want to see them be brought in We want to see them be brought in and see their heart knit together with ours, that we would grow and that we would love one another and encourage one another and be faithful together. So, the majorly astute among you might just realize I spelled out the word stick because that was the easiest way I could think to remember it. I tried sticky, but I couldn't think of a Y, so we're going with stick. That's it. See, talk, involve, commit, and knit. When we think about new people and identifying them and bringing them into the life of our church, there's the steps right there. Identify them, find them, talk to them, be friendly, involve them, welcome them into your life, welcome them into your ABF, show them that there's a community of people here who love God and love them and want to see what's best for them. We want to see them commit, we want to see them follow Christ and be a member of a church, and then knit. We want to grow together, to love together, to continue to making and maturing disciples. So it's the responsibility of Inner City Baptist Church for welcoming and receiving newcomers into the life of our church so that we all become more like Christ. Or it's our job to find new people and make them stick. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the love you have shown us by sending him to take our sin, that we may be brought into this family, that we may be members of this body. Help us to love and care for one another, that we would serve well, and that we would have our eyes open for the people who you might bring through our doors, that we would welcome them and that we would help them follow Christ better. So we're so thankful for that and for what you have done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.